Come on, come on. Hey, aren't we blessed to have just an absolutely incredible worship team? Can we give it up for those guys that lead us every single week in worship? They are off the charts. They are pretty people, and I'm glad they're here before me, but they can sing incredible, all right? They're just incredible, incredibly talented, all right? Hey, listen, just for all the ladies in the house, our identity night is this Saturday night. If you have not signed up, today is the last day to sign up, okay? Identity night for the ladies. Today's the last day to sign up. You can go to desperationchurch.tv/identity, and you can sign up. So if you have not signed up, I'm telling you, got incredible stuff where it's going to be off the charts. I promise you. I've already seen some of the things that they're doing. You got to come, okay? I would love for you to come and be a part. So go and sign up today. Hey, today is round two, our second week of our series called Not Afraid. And last week we talked about trust, and we talked about how I personally believe that the word trust is something deeper than a lot of us give recognition to. You know, a lot of people, when we talk about trust, we think about Sunday school lessons. We may sing some songs about it. We may even hear messages on it. But I'm telling you, trust is one of the main ingredients to discovering the beauty of who God is. And honestly, trust is one of those things that helps us walk in our calling and our purpose with God. I believe everybody who is a believer here has got a purpose in life. You've got a calling. It may not look like my calling, but where your feet are planted every single day, that's where God's called you, okay? And so the enemy wants to use fear every way possible. He wants to use fear every way possible to keep you so internally focused that you can't look externally, okay? You can't focus on what God's called you to. And so we really believe, I personally believe, that there's a lot of people in this room right here, including myself, all right? Last week, got really transparent with you, told you, listen, there's a lot of things that I struggle with in the area of fear. But I also knew just from doing 20 years of ministry and just living in life, it's amazing how many people walk in fear. And fear has a lot of different packages, all right? I believe fear can come in insecurities, it can come in shame, it can come in guilt, it can come in rejection. Fear comes in a lot of different ways. Fear of failure, fear of man. And so there's a lot of people who are owned every day with fear. There's some of you who are great at putting on a face. Man, you look like everything's together, everything's hunky-dory in my life, but on the inside you are freaking out. You are scared, slapped to death. Last week I talked about being a little boy and going to get my mom and dad's bed with them whenever I was scared. Be kind of awkward today at 45 going to do that. But the bigger picture is there's a lot of times I still feel like that little boy. That I have so much fear inside of me that really the only place I can turn is towards God. And so what the whole point of this series is to teach you how to trust God. How to turn your face like a flint towards God in the middle of your fear. And I really believe that there's a lot of times, we're going to talk about it today, that God gets us so far out on a limb, that God brings us to face our fears. He brings our fears to our face and basically says, okay, now what you going to do with it? You going to try to fix it, or you going to trust me to fix it? And what happens is a lot of us try to fix it. And that's the wrong route. So we're going to talk a little bit about what that looks like. It's what Psalm 91:1-2 says. You know, Psalm 91:1 is basically the verse that we're going with. I told you the story about that last week. If you haven't heard it, you can go listen to the message that we preached last week on it. It says this in Psalm 91:1-2. It says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. If you are walking in restlessness and you're not walking in rest, you're walking in fear and you're restless because of fear, there's a great possibility you're really not trusting God. We talked a lot about last week also that there are people in the house, all right? There are people here today. You could talk about trust and say you know about trust, and you can say all day long you trust God, but by the way you live your life reveals more about do you really trust God. And so you've got to ask yourself, am I restless? If you're restless, then you really don't trust who God says he is, all right? Says, this I declare about the Lord, he alone is my refuge, not my finances, not the government. There's nothing in my life that is my refuge, but only God. Only God is my safe place. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. Today I want to speak to you on what to do when our fear speaks louder than our faith. Fear, a lot of times, speaks louder than our faith. How many of you would just be honest in the house and say, hey, Andy, there are times in my life that fear speaks louder than my faith? Faith, all right? I got both my hands up in the air, all right? I believe it happens. It happens on a regular basis. Well, Adam Hicks is our Jasper campus pastor. He's a nut. He has no sense sometimes. And so he came up with a bright idea of like, okay, what we need to do is we need to go face our fears. And we need to put it on video and let people see how we got fears in our life and we conquer them. And so he came up with a bright idea of going to Ed's Exotic Pet Shop. You know what exotic means? That means that it's not puppies and kittens, all right? It means that there's stuff there that's probably my biggest fear. Right? My biggest fear just physically is snakes. Is there anybody else in the house that just hates snakes? Come on. Listen, come on, brother, in Jesus' name. Now you know how I'm feeling, all right? I was scared to death the fear is speaking loud in my head. The voices in my head was like, don't go, don't go, don't, and I should not have gone, all right? I'll be honest with you, I never got over it, okay? I mean, I never got over my fears. And so you'll see why in just a second. But Jake, our ARAB campus pastor, and Adam and Keith went with us. Jake is scared of birds. I don't know if he watched a movie. I don't know what happened. I don't know if one flew into his grill, like his grill teeth. I don't know what happened. But he's scared. And Adam is scared of spiders. They didn't have spiders. And so he got away free. He said, well, put a scorpion on me. A scorpion will kill you. You can't do that, all right? You can be scared, but you will die and never be scared of anything again, all right? Because you'll be with Jesus. But he ended up being scared of a naked rat, all right? Listen, and then Keith was worse than all of us. Keith, you're going to like this. Check this out.
All right, listen, this is Adam Hicks' idea. And he'll be fired after this. We're at Ed's Pet World in Homewood, Alabama. I just went in and met the people, and I told them I didn't like snakes, so they introduced me to Nana, and I just TT'd on myself a little bit, and I'm not looking forward to this. As a matter of fact, I'm really mad. I mean, like, I'm upset at him for making me do this, all right? Because anything that's a reptile, and not only that, it's creepy in there. Something's not right. Keith, he's scared too. I'm telling you, he's as scared as I am. He's going to have stuff crawling out his beard. Keith, how you feel?
I feel good. They don't have tarantulas today.
They got freaking snakes though. No, that's not good.
I can look at it in the cage, but the idea of it crawling, I don't. I'm done. I don't like it. I really
There's
don't.
There's a roach that you can wear as roller skates. The roaches are huge in there, and I'm scared to death. Well, let's go do it. Come on. I'm getting freaking over with. Over with. I'm serious. Hey, can you introduce yourself?
The Cayman Crocodile?
Tell me your name.
Les Paul.
This is Les.
That's awesome.
No. We want Keith to go first, and so.
Would you like to start small?
Yeah. Not with a snake, though. No.
Oh, yes.
No, my gosh.
Okay. It's not gonna hurt you.
Oh, it's all right.
Hello, I
no.
Not to.
No.
This is the smallest teeth snake I have. You're gonna be fine. Come here.
Are you doing that?
Be quiet.
No, I'm
here. Just touch it.
Shh. Look, I'm here. No. Keep it like. Oh, God. You're gonna make me cuss. I'm not cussed. Look,
Hey, be here. I'll hold it with you.
Hang on, huh?
Hey, this is just the start.
Let me get it.
Huh?
I got it.
Just hold out your hand flat. I'll hold it with you.
Oh,
no. Don't yank away from me so I can hold this thing.
Okay, I will.
Oh, no, don't call it Jack.
Who's scared of the bird?
Oh, I ain't sticking my hand on
Jack. Yes.
All right, so hold out your finger.
Oh, praise Jesus.
Hold out your finger. Hold out your finger. Make a step.
Put him out.
Little kids do this. My bird's laughing at you, dude.
Yeah, come on.
He's what you got, Jake?
Oh, he's talking trash.
Put your hand in my hand.
Are you really scared of birds?
Yes, I'm scared. Oh, God.
Put your hand in my hand.
Ah, he's biting me. He's biting me. Oh, my God. Are you really scared of birds?
He bit me.
No, he
did not.
He used his finger to step up.
Somebody get it. I don't want it.
Why are you scared of birds? Look, he's
We'll just say, stay still. Stand really still. Don't move.
Okay. Nope, don't bite my ear. Don't talk to me.
How are you doing?
Oh, yeah. What am I doing? I'm holding you on my shoulder. He said, what are you doing?
Oh, God. No. No.
This is a naked rat.
Hey, by the way, what are we doing with this bird?
Huh?
Oh no! Oh no! Why'd you just sit him on me? Oh, and look, he's got a temperature.
Look, Callie's got a, something. On her shoulder.
Oh shoot! Get it off! Get it! What is it?
It's gross.
Oh, stop.
It's freeze kissing your ear.
I can't. What?
Oh!
Is it on me?
Yeah, it's on you.
Still?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's crawling in your jacket.
Home. No.
What? Exactly.
Is it that thing that Callie had on?
Yeah.
Oh God!
Cody, will you get Andy's?
That's the ball.
And that's the ball. Ball python.
Say it don't bother
me. Oh, dude, uh-uh.
That might kind of wrap around your neck.
It's the kind you wrap around your neck?
Yeah, they like to.
I don't know if I'm good with that. All right, KV.
Oh, it's.
Where do I hold it? Like, just like I don't like where he's holding it. It's curling up.
That's fine.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Nah, I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah. You wouldn't? Okay. Oh, he's so.
He left. He went home.
All right.
Where'd Andy go?
He's not
gone.
Bad.
He left.
Is it locked?
Did the pastor leave?
He got
really?
He gone.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good day.
No problem, man.
Thank you,
man.
No problem.
Appreciate you.
Yep. Pastor Andy got in his car.
He's gone.
And left after he saw the last snake we were going to hold. And so
I actually just wiped my mouth with my hand that has been on those animals. And I'll say this. I've learned one thing. That I will only touch animals that Les Paul from Ed's Pet World will
yes.
hand me
he has to
or forcefully throw on me because we would have.
All of my fears about birds were confirmed.
Yes. It is definitely better to face a fear with a group of people.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I would not have gone in there by myself.
Join a small group.
That'll yes. preach. Join a small group.
It was worth facing it if somebody else in this series can face your fear.
The best part about it is we came without Germax.
And yeah, our mouth stop is covered in snake slime.
Let's go eat popcorn.
Yeah, let's go eat popcorn.
Well, I'm pretty sure we all lost our man card right there on the spot. For all the guys in here that thinks you're tougher than us, you can go do it. I will never do it again. And I'll be honest with you, I never got set free. I think Keith might have got set free. The only thing I got set free was when I put my key in the ignition and left. I got set free from Ed's Pet World in Jesus' name. I just left him. I saw that big snake they had that could eat me, and I was like, God gave me a brain for a reason, and I'm using it while y'all aren't. Y'all have fun. I'm still in bondage to snakes in Jesus' name, all right? So, before we ever went, it's amazing how, you know, when things go wrong or things could go wrong, that fear will talk a lot louder in our minds than in our faith. It's almost as if fear, it kind of talks to us. It gains a voice. You know, you have the voice of the fear of failure or the fear of rejection or the fear of man or the fear of whatever. It's amazing the voice that was going on in my head, the paranoia. You know, when Adam comes and tells me we're going to go hold snakes and spiders, the things that started swirling in my head, I immediately told that cat, no, we're not going. I'm not doing that. And they end up talking me into it. I had to go to Birmingham anyway for a doctor's appointment. So I just met them over there. And I didn't stay long. The funnest part was when everybody else was scared but me. But here's the deal. Is the voices in my head that I heard. Now, listen, I know that that's just simple and that's crazy, but honestly, just in life, whatever your fear may be, it's amazing the chatterbox that takes place in your head. You know, I've said before, last week, did you know that 80% of what takes place in your mind, 80% of what takes place in the average human's mind is negative. The thoughts that you have are negative. Only 20% are positive. I guarantee you, when you woke up this morning, put your foot on the floor, went and got a shower, I bet that your mind was full of negative thoughts, and you probably don't even realize it because you've trained your mind to think that way. Do it in the morning. Wake up in the morning and think about all the things throughout the day that may be negative, that might cause fear in your life, just within 10 minutes of getting up. because it's a constant. I think we're so used to it. And God says, I've not created you for that. I've not created you to walk in fear. I created you with a purpose, and fear will keep you from your purpose. And it's amazing, the chatterbox, the voices that take place. And a lot of us in this room need to crash the chatterbox. We need to crash the chatterbox in our head. And the only voice we listen to is the voice of God, which is the voice of reason, which is the voice of trust and faith. It's God. We've got to listen to Him. And so there are times in our life when we are faithless. You know, when you're faithless is when you walk in fear. But it's amazing how God is faithful even when we're faithless. That in the middle of our faithless times and fear, that God is still faithful to teach us how to overcome our fear, to face it head on. And that's what we're going to talk about today, to stare our fear in the eye and have confidence in God and go forward, okay? And so that's what we're going to be talking a lot about today. Fear is not healthy. It releases the activity of Satan in our lives and in our minds. But faith releases the activity of God. When I say that faith releases the activity of the enemy, you know, the Bible says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So what does the enemy want to steal? He wants to steal your joy. So what's one of the greatest ways he can steal your joy? He can steal it with fear. You know, he wants to kill. He wants to kill your purpose. What's one of the greatest ways to kill your purpose? It's through fear. He wants to destroy who God's called you to be. He wants to destroy, honestly, everything about you. What's one of the number one greatest ways to do that? He can do it through fear. And whenever you begin to walk in fear, it gives the enemy a gate. It gives him an opportunity to come in and wreak havoc in your life. And God has not called you to walk in confusion and chaos. God has not called you to walk in havoc. God has called you to walk standing firm, confident in who God is and who God's called you to be in your identity with Him, so that you can fulfill the things that God's called you to in your life. And if you're walking in fear and you're not walking in faith, you can't do those things. And the enemy knows that. So one of the number one schemes and strategies and tricks of the enemy is fear. But when you walk by faith, it releases the activity of God. When you walk by faith, it gives God an opportunity to work. It gives God an opportunity to show off. It gives God an opportunity to make His name known to the nations when you walk by faith. And so when we have fear in our life, God, He allows it a lot of times to come up so that He can teach us how to overcome our fear by trusting Him. And so we're going to see a lot of this today. We know that fear says, what if? But faith says, even if. Fear says, what if? But faith says, even if. You know, I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Listen, this is what he said. Basically, Nebuchadnezzar comes and looks at them, at everyone, and says, whenever we play trumpets, you bow down and worship me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, I will not worship you. I got one God I worship, and I will not worship you. And so basically Nebuchadnezzar goes and takes them to a fiery furnace and says, if you do not worship me, we will throw you into the fire. And they basically said, if you throw us into the fire, our God will rescue us. But even if He doesn't, He is still God. He is still faithful. If He does, He's faithful. But even if He doesn't, He's still faithful. And faith says that even if He does or even if He doesn't, He's still God and He is still faithful, because He has a purpose and a reason behind everything that takes place. And it's all in how we respond that God can use us for His purpose and for His greatness and for His name to be known. You know, we talked a few months ago that there are 2,000 known fears and phobias, but only two of which you're born with. You're only born with two fears. It's the fear of falling and it's the fear of loud noises. So that means that all other fears that you have are learned fears, except for snakes. God gave you that fear too, all right? Actually, it's a learned fear. They're just ugly and scary, and they scare me. All right, but if we can learn fear, we can unlearn fear. If you can learn fear, you can unlearn fear. So what's your fear? What is the fear that you've learned? Because God wants to set you free from these things. You know, we've heard 2 Timothy 1:7. I talked about it last week. Let me kind of reiterate again. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind or self-discipline. Whenever you walk in fear, you're powerless. You're not walking in power. What gives you power? When I trust God and walk by faith, I walk in power as a believer. When I walk in fear, I can't walk in love. Why? Because I'm so internally focused. I'm focused on myself that there's no way that I can love other people the way God's called me to. God's called me to walk externally loving on people. There's no way I can love people whenever I got fear, because I'm so internally focused. All I'm focused on is my fear and me. And then a sound mind. When you walk in fear, you don't have a sound mind. Your mind is jacked up. And I've been there many times. Just this week, even after preaching about it Sunday, and God says, I want a sound mind, because if you're not thinking clearly, how can I use you clearly? Sound mind. So what do we do when fear seems to be so loud that that's all we hear? When fear seems to be so loud, that's all we hear. It consumes us at times. So what do we do when fear cripples us, when paranoia shuts us down, when anxiety just swallows us up? What do we do? Well, let me give you some scripture. Let me tell you what happened with Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's one of my most favorite stories of all time. And this is who God is. This is what he is about. This is who God is. It's beautiful. Let me kind of set up the story before I start reading. So basically, Jehoshaphat sends out some of his men to go and kind of scout out the land. And so all these men go out and scout out the land, and they come back to Jehoshaphat and basically says, hey, all the ites have got a vast army. Somebody say, who are the ites? They're the Ammonites, the Mennonites, the Moabites, the Perizzites. They're all these different sites, ites, right? Some of y'all didn't get that. Anyway, stupid. Listen, there's all these different people groups made one big gigantic army, and they're coming to Jerusalem and Judah to kill them. And so we see in verse 3 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20 that Jehoshaphat was terrified. Now, Jehoshaphat is one of these guys that God loved as a king. He did all the things God, he even cut down the Asherah poles. He cut down the high places where a lot of kings still pursued God, but they never cut down the high places. Jehoshaphat, he did everything. He was pursuing God. He was chasing after him. Do you know that even people who are hot after God can still be terrified? Which reveals our faithlessness that, you know, I don't know if I really believe in him this time. Last time, yeah, it's a little easier, but this time's a little hard. Jehoshaphat was terrified. And so what Jehoshaphat does is he calls a fast to all of Judah, a fast and a time to prayer. And he pleaded with God and begged God, is what the scripture said, that God, you're our only hope. They will destroy us if you do not come through. So those in this room, that, hey, what do I do when fear is louder than my own voice? What do I do when fear is loud? What do I do when it's crippling me, consuming me? Why don't you start a fast? Why don't you start a fast, and why don't you start praying like you've never prayed before? You know, a lot of people in this room probably only fast whenever we as a church call you on a fast, which is usually the first 21 days of the year. And a lot of times we have people who fast before our freedom retreats. But what about you just on your own as a spiritual discipline, whenever you have things going on in your life that you cannot control, that only God can do, only he can come through? Why don't you start a fast and ask God to come through for you? That might be what God's calling some of you on right now as individuals. You've got so much fear in your life, and it's crippling you, and you cannot focus, and God's calling you on a fast, and you pray and you seek him. The other thing that I would say do, and I think is really cool in this text, is that basically, after they had prayed and they had fasted, there's this guy named Jahaziel. And basically, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came up on him, and he began to prophesy. He began to speak the words of God. And basically, what I'm about to read is what he spoke to the people of God. Now listen, there's nothing greater in the middle of fear when you're consumed with anxiety, when you're consumed with fear, you're crippled with fear. There's nothing greater than the voice of God. And if you're a child of God, God is a personal God, and he speaks to you. He knows exactly where you are and what's crippling you, and he speaks to you. And there's nothing greater that gives me confidence in the middle of my most scared times of my life than the voice of God, whether it's through the word of God or whether it's Spirit speaking to me. If I wish I had time to tell you some stories that has happened with me, I don't have time today. Maybe I can do it in the next couple of messages on this. But it's amazing how you feel like, man, I'm just going to die. I mean, there's no way I'm going to make my way out of this. And then whenever you hear the voice of God, it's amazing how your legs get stronger and how your chest sticks out a little bit more, and you get a little bit more confident. Not a little bit, a lot more confident. It's amazing the weight I wonder how many of you in here are carrying a weight, by the way. Fear produces this weight that is unexplainable. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you're carrying it today. The voice of God, maybe God's using this message to speak to you by how to let that off. Let that weight off of you. The voice of God is huge. That's why I say it's vital. It's important that each person in this room who calls themselves believers, it is vital that you find your own personal time with God so that you can learn and discover the voice of God. Because the voice of God is not something that's going to happen just overnight. I personally believe it's something that I have learned over the years of hearing God's voice, that the more I grow spiritually, the more when I hear him, I'm like, that's God. And the only way that happens to learn the voice of God is when you're spending time with God. And I would ask, how often are you spending time with God so that you can walk with God and hear the voice of God when you're walking through Walmart or whether you're driving down the car or down the road or whether you're at the gym or whether you're in your prayer time? When's your time with God? Is that in your car? Is that in your prayer closet? Is that in your recliner at 4:30 in the morning? Some of you are like, dear Lord Jesus, my fear is 4:30 in the morning. That's mine too, brother. Listen. When do you spend time with God? You need it. We need it to love on him and let him love on us and speak to us and move us and convict us and change us. It's a beautiful thing. It's a great thing. It's a relationship. So here's what Jehaziel spoke to them. This is what he said. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he spoke. This is what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. It says, he said, God, through Jehaziel, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, God speaking. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. I'm speaking to you, King, leader over the people. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Say that. Say, do not be afraid. Come on. Don't be discouraged. You know, I said last week, you know what produces, what comes out of fear? Discouragement will always come out of fear. Depression will come out of fear. Anxiety and stress comes out of fear. There's a lot of things that come that from fear. There's a byproduct to fear. He says, don't be discouraged. They were incredibly discouraged. Why? Because they were fearful they were about to be killed. Their families were about to be killed by an army. He says, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by this mighty army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Look at your neighbor and say, the fight is not yours. Come on, y'all say, like, man, y'all's fear is me even making y'all do something with your neighbor, right? Look at them and tell them, like, with confidence, the fight is not yours. Come on. See, I'm helping you get over your fears right now. Like, we don't do that in church. We don't do that in church. Today you do, because we're getting over our fears. Listen, the fight is not yours. If you're a child of God, the fight is not yours.
Yeah, that's good.
But it's God's. Why? Because he is for us, not against us. He fights for us. It says, tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the accent of Ciz. I'm going to name my next kid Ciz. What's up, Ciz Heiss? Listen, we're not having another kid. We may adopt one, but we'll see. Accent of Ciz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. He says, but take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. Why? Because he is with you. He made them take their positions. God made them take their positions. Like you're about to fight, but you're not going to need to fight. You're just going to stand there and watch what I do. And watch me be glorified. Watch what I do. Listen, there's a reason why he put them in their position. Jehoshaphat was facing a defeated enemy. But honestly, these people who were afraid had to face their fears. And in the middle of facing their fears, they were able to watch God move and work. See, there's a lot of people in this room that has fears, and God's saying, here's what I want to have happen. I want you to come in. I want you to take your position because you're in a war. If you're a child of God, you're in a war. You're on the battlefield. You're on the front lines. And I want you to face your fears. And here's what I want you. I don't want you to try to fix it. I want you to stop. I want you to remain silent. I want you to be still. And I want you to watch me fight for you. Watch me fight. Why? Because You are my child, and you, I am your refuge. I am your safe place. Let me fight. Let me fight. I wonder how many of us have the faith to do that. Listen, it's really, really easy for old Pastor Andy to come up here and preach that kind of message, like just stand still. Well, that sounds easy for you, Pastor. It's not. That's why I stay consumed on a regular basis with like paranoia and fear and crazy stuff going on the inside of me. And so do you. Because we always feel like we got to fix it, but most of us don't really trust God and His Word. And God says, let me fight for you. Let me fight for you. Be still and watch the Lord's victory. Why? Because He is with you. O people of Judah and Jerusalem, He says it again, confirmation. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with who? With you. Are you a believer? He is with you. Not just with Judah and Jerusalem. He is with you. Not just with Jehoshaphat. He is with you. Not just with your granny. He is with you. Not just with your mom and your dad. He is with you if you're a child of God. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord in the middle of their fear, in the middle of the enemy coming at them, in the middle of war about to break out. They stood and they praised God, facing their enemy, facing their fear. They stood and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with what? With a very loud shout. Boy, some of us could just preach that right there for worship. Some of y'all, your fear is just shouting to the Lord. Your fear is getting a little too excited in church, bless God. I just don't, you know what? The same way that I worship in private is the same way I want to worship in public. And there's a lot of people that will worship in private, like, woo, yeah. You know, you're like, look at me, I'm worshiping. But do you do that in private? The same way I worship in private is the same way I want to worship in public. And I'll be honest with you, there's times I'm shouting and dancing, I look like a fool. If somebody's walking on me, they'd be like, oh, dear Lord Jesus, help him. He needs to go to a mental hospital. I'm just worshiping Jesus. And sometimes we don't worship in private because we're scared to death of religious people going to point their finger at us and say, look at that crazy fool. And they will. This ain't a message on worship. We'll just come back to it. It is a little bit, but come on. It says, early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in your swords and your spears? No. Believe in your shields? No. Believe in the man next to you? No. How are we going to fight? We're going to believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in the prophets, the one that's speaking this, Jahaziel, who is speaking the word of God, and you will succeed. Listen, when we really begin to believe in God, you know, a lot of times our legs are weak because we're not walking the way of faith that God's called us to. But when we stand by faith, in Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about this. When we stand in faith, our legs become strong and we have broad shoulders that stick up in the area of I am confident in who God is. My chest pokes out a little bit more. Why? Because I'm fighting with God on my side. He says, believe and you will succeed. How do you overcome? You believe. It says, after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Listen to what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His what? His faithful. Even when we're fearful, he is faithful. His faithful love endures forever. That's what they sang. The choir led the army and they sang, your faithful love endures forever. And what we see is this, is that they take their positions and they watch God work. It says the angel came down into the camp and caused confusion, and all the ites began to kill each other. They turned on each other and they all killed each other and they died. And nobody from Judah or Jerusalem died. They were still and they trusted God and they watched him move. They did what God called them to do. Here's what happens to shut out fear's voice. Here's what needs to happen. You need to understand that when we have fear and we're being faithless, that God is still faithful, because that's who He says He is. And what God's trying to move you into is to trust in Him that He is faithful. There's people in this room right now that's doubting everything that I'm saying because you're going through 19 different scenarios in your head. But God is faithful. And even if what my biggest fear happens, He is still faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. You know, when God is faithful, He is, and we are faithless, it reveals His character. Listen to what 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 says. It says, if we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. You know, there's a lot of you that don't feel like you can really walk faithful with God because honestly, your past still owns you. Things that's happened in your past. The regret that you have that's happened in your past still owns you today, that you cannot walk with your shoulders back, your chest out, your legs firm, being who God's called you to be because you're still haunted by your past. Can I tell you, listen, you can't get in a time machine, you can't get in the LeDorean, Glorian, whatever you call that thing, the Back to the Future, and go back in time. You can't fix, there's nothing you can do, but Jesus did. Jesus fixed your past. It's called the cross. It's called the gospel. The regret that's holding you back from being who God's called you to be, in Jesus' name, nail it to the cross and walk in the confidence God's called you to walk in because the blood of Christ covers it. It's amazing the shame and the guilt that the enemy's placed on people because of your past. You can't do anything about it, but Jesus did. Claim it, walk in it, and live in the future, live in the presence, live in who God's called you to be today. You can't do nothing about yesterday, but you sure can do something about today, and you can do something about tomorrow, and it's all with Jesus. It's only Jesus. Some of you might be asking the question, like, can somebody say, like, hallelujah, amen, like, that's good. Okay, y'all, that's weaker than Pomeroy. Listen, okay, y'all scared slap today. If y'all don't know what to do, I'm about to jump off. Woo! I was scared of falling, though. It comes natural. Listen. The big picture is this. Somebody's like, well, how is God faithful when I'm faithless? It's called the gospel. When we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were faithless. We had no faith. We lived on our own. We did our own thing. But yet Jesus still died for us. We were faithless, but He was faithful. Romans chapter 5, verse 10 says that while we were still sinners, that even as sinners, as enemies of God, that Christ died for us. Enemies. Shows you the greatness of a faithful God to send His baby boy, the most prized possession of heaven, down to this earth to die for a wretched sinner like me and like you, to help us conquer our fears, to help us conquer our selfishness, to help us conquer our sinfulness. He gives us a Holy Spirit to live inside of us, to speak to us, and to teach us to walk with the faithful God. A God who has love that endures forever. That's how I know He's faithful when I'm faithless. And there are people in this room right here that's got fear that's owning you. And God wants you to do this. You need to, number one, understand Romans 8:31. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? That God is faithful. Why is that? Because that's who He is. He is faithful for protection. He is faithful to provide. He is faithful even when we are faithless. Listen, it is when we realize that God is who He says He is and trust Him fully that faith really comes alive and we can rest in Him. Do you rest? Do you rest? Or are you restless? How you sleeping? Fear keeping you up at night? Where's your trust? He's faithful. Trust Him. Another way, outside of fasting and prayer and listening to the voice of God and trusting that He is faithful even when we're faithless, another way, to get set free from fear is to look your fear right in the eye and worship God. Look your fear right in the eye and worship God. As your fear activates, just like in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, they brought out the choir on the front lines out to the battlefield. Why do you need to look in the eyes and to worship God? Is it cancer? Is it the fear of man? Is it the fear of failure? Is it the fear of rejection? Is it the fear of losing somebody? What is your fear? Is it the fear of exposure? Is it the fear of the past? What is your fear? Because what needs to happen with a lot of people who have fear in this place today is if you're a child of God, you need to go ahead and know. Listen, you're in a war. Go read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18 if you don't believe me. And God's called us to go to the front lines to get bloody for the sake of Jesus. And the enemy hates it whenever we get bloody for the sake of God. The enemy hates it when we discover the battlefield and we're going to fight for the name of Jesus. The enemy wants to destroy you. You're in a war, and he uses fear as one of his primary weapons to destroy God's people. And it's time for you, and it's time for me to not let the enemy win anymore in the area of fear. And it's time to look our fear straight in the eye. And it's time for us to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because he is a faithful God, and he is for you, not against you. And it's time to trust him with who he is and who he says we are. And it's time to start walking our calling, doing something in our one little short life on this earth, to do something in our generation and in our time for the glory of God. Why? Because I'm no longer fearful of anything the enemy throws at me, but I will walk by faith, because my God is faithful even when I'm faithless. And so I will look at you in the eye and I will worship God. And so people in this room, you need to take your positions. And we need to worship as the body of Christ. So why are you still sitting there? Why don't we stand up? Why don't we worship? You can't fight sitting down. What's your fear today? Is it failure? Is it rejection? What's your fear today? Is it finances? What's your fear today? Child of God, what's your fear? What's got you restless? What's holding you down? What's the what ifs coming from? Where's the paranoia? Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look it right in the face. And I want you to worship God with everything that you are. Give him everything. It says the people were scared of the army, the vast army coming at them. God said, take your positions and watch me work. So let's take our positions and let's watch God work. Trust him at what he says, okay? Father, in Jesus' name, we ask that you would move. God, we come to worship you and worship you alone, because you alone are our refuge and our safe place. We face our fears, we look it in the eye, and we watch you work, God, as we worship. Father, you are faithful. God, even when we're in fear and faithless, but God, you're teaching us something. You're teaching us how to face our fears with you. And God, when we can face our fears with you, it takes us to another level spiritually. Takes us to another level of maturity, because God, we have came to a place of trust in you. And so Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that God, you would take people in this room and you would trust them, that you would teach them to trust you. God, you would teach them to trust you. And God, the enemy wants to toss fears at us on a regular basis. And God, I ask in Jesus' name, whether it's rejection, whether it's failure, whether it's the fear of man, God, whether it's the fear of our past, whether it's the fear of whatever, God, I ask in Jesus' name that we would be reminded of the cross. God, we will fail. We will make bad decisions. We will have regrets, God. We will have rejection. People will reject us, but God, you will not. So, God, may we learn from our failures. God, may we learn who you are, that God, you will not reject us, even if everyone else does. God, remind us that our past is covered with the blood of Jesus, and that God, we move towards the future. We move in the presence. God, where our feet are planted today, making the name of Jesus famous. Teach us more about who you are and what you're about, Father. If you're here today with nobody looking around, you'd say, Andy, I've never given my life to Jesus, man. Man, I need Christ in my life. There's no way that I can worship him. There's no way that I can put my trust in him, because Andy, I've never given my life to him. I'll be honest with you, I do my own thing. I am my own God. And man, I'm ready to let somebody else have control of my life. I'm ready to have somebody else take control of me and be my God, be my Lord. I want God to do that in my life. I want a relationship with Jesus. If you're here today and you say, Andy, I want a relationship with God, with nobody looking around, just me and you. All right, I'm not gonna call you out, point you out. I'm not gonna ask you to come to the front, just so I know I have somebody here to lead to Jesus. If you're here today and you say, Andy, I want a relationship with Christ, with nobody looking around, would you just put your hand up in the air so I can see you? Just put it up high so I can see. Say, Andy, I want a relationship with Jesus, man. I see you, buddy. There's one and there's two right there. It's kind of dark out there, so you're going to put it up high for me, okay? Andy, I want a relationship with you. I see you over there in the corner. Come on. Andy, I want a relationship with Jesus, man. Who else? I want a relationship with Christ. Anybody else? For the ones that raised their hands and maybe for the ones that didn't. The Bible says very plainly to confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth and to believe in your heart that he's raised again on the third day, and it says you will be saved. You may be asking, why do I believe in my heart? Because it's with your heart that you're alive. It's with every fiber of your being, I believe in who God is and what he's done and who he says he is. So if I believe in my heart, that means that I believe that he died on the cross. He paid the penalty of my sin. I believe he took on the wrath of God that I deserve. And Jesus died for me. It also means that you believe that he rose again on the third day, that today that Jesus Christ is alive and he is well today. March 12th, 2017, Jesus Christ is alive with your best intentions out. And because of that, he desires to have a relationship with you. You say, well, Andy, how do I give my life to him? Well, the Bible says to confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth and believe in your heart. So to confess him, you've got to talk to him. Listen, I want to challenge you to confess him as Lord. In other words, God, I don't want to live my life for me. I've been Lord of my life way too long and it's not worked out. God, I want you to be Lord of my life. You know, a lot of people say that repentance is a prayer. They call it the prayer of repentance. But honestly, repentance is a mind shift. Repentance is I'm going this way in my life and I do an about face and I turn around and go after the heart of God. Repentance is something that God does in you. And it starts with prayer. It starts with confession, confessing him as Lord. So to confess him, we got to talk to him. So why don't we do that? Say, Jesus, I confess you as Lord. Forgive me of my sins. I give my life completely to you. Take my life and do with it what you will. Use it for your glory. Use it for your honor. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for breaking me. Thank you for making me more like you. Jesus, I give you all of me. I give you all of me, Jesus. If you're here today and you just gave your life to Jesus Christ and you meant it from the bottom of your heart, can we give it up for these people, Desperation Church? Listen, it's gonna take a little courage for you. You just got through talking about fear, a little courage, starting it off right. Right through these doors, before you go through the sliding doors, there's a room to your right. Inside that room, there's a red table there. It's called our Next Steps table for those that just gave their life to Christ. I want to challenge you to go there. There's going to be somebody there with a smile on their face. They're going to give you a book that's going to help you start growing in your faith. And they're going to give you some next steps on how you start your journey with God. It's vital. It's important that you go there. So I want to challenge you to go and meet these people there and let them give you your next steps in your walk with God. Now listen, if you're here today and you say, Andy, I have fear in my life. And it may look different than anything I've shared with you, but you got some fear in your life. And you say, Andy, would you pray for me? If that's you, I would love to pray for you. Be an honor. Would you just throw your hands up? I really can't see you, but God does. Father, in Jesus' name, God, set us free to walk in the calling that you've given us. Everybody has a calling that's a believer. God, where our feet are planted every day of our life is our calling. And God, may we live Jesus out. May we be a light in a dark world. And God, fear tries to diminish the light. Fear tries to dim the light. But God, your light is brighter than fear. So Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to overcome the darkness of fear and that we would walk in light. Father, for those in this room who have heaviness in their life because of fear, in Jesus' name, lighten their load because they place their burden of fear on you. And God, may they walk in freedom and may they walk with a lighter step. May they walk, Father, in ways they've never walked before, God. God, use them for your glory and for your honor. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we glorify you in your precious and holy name.